Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. As I said just a moment ago, that we really take this series and we really take our identity here at North Point as the inn out of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And as Jesus tells this story, he tells a story about a Samaritan man who was walking down the road, and he comes upon this Jewish man who's been beaten up by a group of bandits. He's been stripped of his clothes. He's left half dead. And this Samaritan man comes to his aid. He bandages up his wounds and puts him on his donkey and carries him to the inn. And I just often think, what if in this story, when the Good Samaritan gets to the inn, there would have been no innkeeper? What would have happened if at the inn, and the Good Samaritan knocks on the door, but nobody answers the door? You see, the inn is only an inn if the innkeeper is present. The structure doesn't make the inn. The innkeeper makes the inn. It was the innkeeper that brought the man in and cared for him. And you see, that's what makes North Point Community Church so special. It's not these four walls. It's not this building. No, the thing that makes North Point so special is the innkeepers that make this place the inn. And it's because people have adopted this command of Jesus. They have taken on this identity that Jesus gives his disciples. In Mark chapter 10, it says, Jesus called his disciples together and he says to them, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different." Come on, I want you to say that with me. Say, "But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else." You see, when we talk about the world's way, this is what we see. We see people are looking for what they can get. But when you talk about God's way, people are looking for what they can give. When you talk about the world's way, people are asking, "How can you make my life better?" But whenever you're talking God's way, people are asking, "How can I make your life better?" The world's way says, "Do you see me?" The God's way says, "Do you need me?" You see, the culture of this world, the way of thinking and the way of behaving, will keep us from experiencing everything that God has for us. You see, you don't get kingdom of God results with world-like thoughts. You can't build an inn with a "what about me" mentality. You see, an innkeeper cannot have the mindset and the philosophy of "what about me? What is in it for me?" No, instead, the innkeeper must be other-centered, not self-centered. The innkeeper must see beyond their own needs and see into the needs of others. If, as a matter of fact, Romans 12:2 speaks to this thing that we're talking about right now when it says, "Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think." Come on, it's so powerful. Don't be like your next door neighbor. Don't be like other people in your family. No, instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what God really wants. Now, think about what Jesus just told his disciples a moment ago in verse 43. It says, "It will be different among you." What does God want? God wants it to be different. God wants your words to be different than the words of the world. He wants your ways to be different than the ways of the world. He wants your thoughts and your behaviors to be different than the ways of the world. He wants the way that you lead and the way that you have compassion. He wants all those things to be different. Among you, it will be different. That's what God wants. And it starts by us changing the way that we think. You see, there are some characteristics of an innkeeper, and I want to talk just for a moment about what are some of these characteristics. The first characteristic of an innkeeper is that an innkeeper is an invader. An innkeeper is an invader. Innkeepers invade the gap. They invade the gap, and there are gaps in every community. There are gaps in every school. There are gaps in every church. There are gaps in every organization. There are gaps in every city. There are gaps, and innkeepers always invade the gap. Now, here's the thing about the gap. The gap typically doesn't come with a fancy title or lots of notoriety, but innkeepers don't just invade the gap just to fill it. No, they invade the gap with expectation. They don't step into the gap begrudgingly, like, well, I guess somebody's got to be here. I guess somebody's got to do it. No, they step into the gap full of excitement and expectation about how God is going to use them in the gap. And friends, that's exactly what you've done. If we're talking about uniforms for students, if we're talking about meals for hungry families, if we're talking about disaster relief in South Louisiana, the innkeepers show up and they say, we will fill in that gap. But what does a gap look like? What does it really look like? Let me just give you a quick acrostic for the word gap so you as an innkeeper know exactly what you are invading. The G stands for gloom. You see, an innkeeper will invade the gloom. They will invade the darkness. They will invade the hopelessness. They will invade the depression. They will invade those places that are void of light and even void of God. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." Do you hear that, friends? We are not here on the earth to hide. We are here on the earth to shine. The innkeepers are there to invade with confidence and courage. And wherever there is darkness, there needs to be an innkeeper shining the bright light of the hope of Jesus Christ, shining the light of the love of God. There needs to be somebody shining the bright light of Jesus Christ into that dark, depressed, and hopeless world. But see, a gap doesn't just look like gloom. A gap can also look like anguish. Anguish. When we talk about anguish, we're talking about extreme pain, distress, anxiety. I don't have to tell you, you know this. People are hurting. People are afraid. People are full of fear and worry right now. And Paul, when he was writing to his ministry buddy, Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verse 14, this is what Paul says: "Our people must learn to use their lives for doing good and helping anyone who has a need." Come on, I want you to stop right there. And helping anyone. Come on, he doesn't put any clarifiers on that. There is no asterisk. He says, our people, our church, the followers of Jesus Christ, they must get used to doing good things and helping anyone who has a need. Then they will not live empty lives. You see, we show up as innkeepers. We show up where there is lack. We show up where there is pain, because that's what innkeepers do. Innkeepers invade the places of anguish. They invade the places where people are wounded and hurting. innkeepers invade those gaps. If you have a need, there needs to be an innkeeper there. Any place where there is a need, any place where there is anguish, that is the perfect place for an innkeeper. But not only does an innkeeper invade the gloom, and not only do they invade the anguish, an innkeeper will also invade the problem. They will invade the problem areas. You see, we don't want to complain about a problem. We want to be a part of a solution to the problem. We aren't afraid of challenges. We are not afraid of difficulties. We are not afraid of hard conversations. No, instead, God put us all here, and he gave us all gifts so that together we could be problem solvers for our community. Every single one of us have a gift. Every one of us have a talent. Every one of us have something to bring. And when we all bring our gifts and talents and skills and abilities, we can then be problem solvers for our community. You see, don't shy away from the gap. Instead, step into the gap. Don't avoid the gap. Instead, invade the gap, because that is what innkeepers do. Innkeepers are invaders. But not only are innkeepers invaders, innkeepers are also investors. They're investors. Innkeepers invest their time and money to build the inn stronger and better so that it can continue to do more and help other people. Innkeepers are investors. You know, there's lots of people who like Jesus's message when Jesus was talking about eternal life and abundant life and peace and joy and forgiveness and courage and power. They like Jesus' message until he started to say some things like this: you have to give up your own way if you want to be my disciple. You have to pick up your own cross, and you have to follow me in the example that I am living out in front of you. You see, Jesus was wanting to let us know that you can't get what you want to get out of this until you invest something in this. Come on, it's the principle of sowing and of reaping. We can't get what we want to get out of it until we put something into it. Just even coming into eternal life. Now, we know you can't work for eternal life. We all know you can't deserve eternal life. You can't be good enough for eternal life. No, it is the gift of God. It is by the grace of God. But you see, you do have to invest faith. You do have to invest your belief. You do have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You see, something has to go in even for you to receive eternal life. And so Jesus is saying, if you want this abundant life, if you want this peace, if you want this joy, then there has got to be some investment for you to receive this life that I am promising you. And Jesus also told his followers in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, he says, your heart will be where your treasure is. Very simple. Your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Now, let's just think for a moment. When we look at the earth and us here on the earth, and what is our treasure? Two things really come to mind. One is time, and one is money. Time is a very valuable resource because it's a limited commodity. You only have a certain amount of time, and it's very valuable. And then money, the things that we work all week to earn, and we get that paycheck, that's very valuable. It is how we live. It is our treasure, our time and our money. That is our treasure. And, you know, I've had people say to me before, they say, you know, Pastor Phil, I just feel like my heart is drifting from God. And the thing that I'm always thinking is, okay, well, how much are you reading? How much are you serving? How much of your time are you praying? Are you worshiping? How much of your time are you giving to God? Because the Bible says your heart is going to follow your treasure. So what do you do with your time? Because if you started investing your time in prayer and your time in the Word and your time in serving, I can promise you that your heart would follow that investment. Not only that, sometimes people say, I just don't feel the passion for God like I really used to feel. Well, then I just have to say, well, tell me this, how much are you giving? How much are you giving to God? How much of your finances are you giving to God? Because Jesus gave us this very simple principle, and he said, your heart, the desires of your heart, the passion of your heart, it will follow your treasure. What you do with your time and what you do with your money does matter for your heart. Your heart will flow wherever those things go. Now, God didn't set it up this way because God necessarily needs your time or God necessarily needs your money. God set it up this way because he knows what we need. We need to give our time. We need to give our money. We need to invest into the kingdom of God. Now, I just have a question for you. Who do you think gets more joy and more fulfillment? Do you think it is the participator or the spectator? Who gets more joy and more fulfillment out of winning a championship? Who gets more, the fan or the players and the coaches? No, you see, it's always the people who invest more. I can tell you, I've been both. I've been the fan in the stands when my team wins the championship, and I've been a player on the field, I've been a coach on the sidelines, and I can promise you, the participator always feels more fulfilled. They have more joy in that moment. As excited as you are as a fan, as thrilled as you are as a spectator, it does not compare to being a participator. And you see, this is what we know. You can either hear about everything that the inn is doing. You can hear about how the inn is serving and how the inn is blessing the community. Or you can be a part of blessing the community. You can be a part of serving the community. You can either watch it from the sidelines or you can get in the game. But I promise you this, your joy and fulfillment will go to the next level when you become an innkeeper and you say, you know what? Innkeepers are investors. I want to invest my time. I want to invest my resources. Listen, all of the things that we talked about a moment ago that we've been able to do, over 60,000 meals that we've given away since COVID-19. We've been able to send thousands of dollars down to South Louisiana to help with the hurricane relief. We gave 3,000 plus brand new uniforms to the 5 schools that we have adopted right here in Bossier Parish. Listen, that doesn't happen without people investing finances into the inn, and not just investing finances to buy the meals and to buy the uniform. It also takes time. We don't have robots delivering the meals. Come on, no, there are people delivering those. People that said, I want to be an innkeeper. I want to invest my time. And the people who are investing their time and money in the inn have a joy and a fulfillment, not of just watching something good happen, but knowing that they are a part of that good thing that is happening. Not only are innkeepers invaders and innkeepers are investors, but innkeepers are also inviters. Innkeepers don't just keep good things to themselves. No, innkeepers invite others to experience the hope, the help, and the healing that they have experienced at the inn. But not just what they experience at the inn. They also want others to experience the fulfillment of being an innkeeper. The story in John chapter 1, it's one of my favorite stories. In verse 45, it says that Philip went to look for Nathanael, and he told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about, and his name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything really good come from Nazareth? And Philip replied and says, come and see for yourself. You see, Philip had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He had experienced his love. He had experienced the grace. And here Philip goes looking for his friend Nathanael. And he says, Nathanael, you've got to come. We have found the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one that the prophets told us was coming. He is the hope of our people. I have found him. And Nathanael says, are you really sure from Nazareth? That doesn't sound right. And he says, you need to come and see for yourself. You see, Philip was an inviter. He was inviting Nathanael to come and experience the inn. He was inviting him to come and have this genuine, real, powerful experience for himself. Now, here's the cool thing. It's not just that Philip had an experience and became an innkeeper. He went and found Nathanael, and Nathanael had experience. And guess what? Nathanael becomes an innkeeper. They both become disciples of Jesus Christ, doing the work of God right here on the earth. See, that's what it means to be an innkeeper. To be an innkeeper, it means that you are an inviter. You are inviting people to encounter the presence, peace, and power of God, and not just to experience what can happen in the end, but you are inviting them to become an innkeeper so that they might experience the fulfillment and the joy of being an innkeeper. Today, you're going to hear a powerful story. And this powerful story that you're going to hear, you're going to see two things. You're going to see, one, the impact of the inn, but two, you're going to see the impact of an innkeeper.
I'm Alex.
I'm Nino, and this is our story. I've been serving in the Air Force for 5 years now. I joined in 2015 when I was 20 years old. I serve as a firefighter, and I've been stationed here at Barksdale since 2016.
And I've been in the Air Force for 3.5 years, and I've also served as a firefighter, and I've been in Barksdale since 2017. As a young airman, like when you first step onto the fire grounds, you don't really have a lot of friends. And like a lot of people don't approach you very often or don't give you a lot of good looks or anything. But I remember like Nino was the first guy to really truly like stick his hand out there and smile and greet me like a normal person. So that really like grabbed my attention.
I remember when I was struggling with my faith, and you know, I knew Jonathan Rapplejay, he's our station captain, and I talked to him about God sometimes. And he goes, hey, man, why don't you come to my church? I was like, oh, I don't know. He's like, come on, you can come sit with me and my family. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, I didn't even give it any thought at the time. Months later, I come back to God. You know, and God knocks on my heart. And I still remembered his invite from probably like 5-6 months ago. He was still deployed at the time. And I said, you know, I'm going to go check out his church. I said, hey, man, you're still going to that church? He goes, yeah, man, come on. That's when I told Alex about it. I said, hey, man, let's go check Rapp's church out.
I trust Jonathan Rapplejay, like, a lot. So I was like, hey, yeah, like, that sounds like a great idea. And, like, we just went with his, like, trusted decision that this is his church for him. And I know we've bounced around, like, maybe, like, one or two services here or there. But as soon as the first service hit here, I feel like we both knew that this is the church that belonged to us. Like, this is our home.
I remember our first time we rolled up into North Point, and it was, yeah, I looked around and everybody was friendly. And with the whole COVID virus thing, you know, you couldn't shake hands, but they made the best of it. It was happy smiles. I remember Mr. Larry, he was just super friendly. I was like, well, how could this guy be so friendly? And, you know, having tattoos and stuff, sometimes we're often judged by people. And, you know, here I didn't feel that. Or, you know, I didn't notice that from anybody. And it was just like welcoming faces and everybody was kind.
So I felt extremely welcomed when I rolled up on church here, that I was already part of the family and that I have been coming here for a while. But they also recognized that I was a new face, and they took it like upon them to make sure that we felt welcomed and appreciated that we were coming here. It was funny because the second Sunday we were rolling up not really expecting, like, we didn't have a lot of expectations or anything. We just knew that we liked this church and that we wanted to come back. But it was funny because we were rolling up and we've had like a lot of battles going into this week. And especially as business partners and brothers, like, we're gonna run into these issues regardless. But sometimes we think our problems like overwhelm us and definitely stress us out and frustrate us a lot. And so we were coming in here looking for answers almost. And it was funny because as soon as we sat down and we started listening to the message, we felt like it was more geared towards us because it was on the like the battles of stress and frustration and how we can use our faith to overcome these battles and overcome these frustrating like events in our life. And we kept looking at each other and like hitting each other and like making fun of each other throughout the service, you know what I mean? Just like trying to like call each other out on some of the things that we've been struggling with recently. And that's when I feel like we wanted to plant like our roots into this church, and that's where we wanted to make this church our home, because we can really relate to it, and it kind of helped us get through some of those tough battles that we were going through at the time.
To me, North Point is the first home church I've ever had since I left Guam. So in the 5 years in the military, this is my first home church. And that's what it means to me. And it's crazy because, you know, God calls us to gather together in one accord. And to me, this is that home. This is that place of gathering.
North Point for me really became where I believe I got saved and where I became to know God more. Because I didn't really have a strong faith background before coming here or believing in God or anything like that. So North Point became like my first church where I believe I was a Christian at. So it means a lot to me, and I'll always remember North Point as I move on through my career and as I move on to my life. I'll always remember North Point Community Church as the first church I went to when I was a true Christian.
What a powerful story that is about what God can do in people's lives. And as you heard their story, you heard them mention John Rappelejay. You see, John and Crystal Rappelejay, they are innkeepers right here at the inn. And not only are they innkeepers, but they are invaders. They are investors. And they are inviters. They are faithful innkeepers. And you know, that's what it really takes. That's what it takes to get a miracle story like you just heard. That's what it takes to get people connected with God. That's what it takes. It takes a group of innkeepers who are living their life full of purpose, and they are saying, God, I want to invade the gap. God, I want to invest in the inn like never before. And God, I want to be an inviter. I want to invite people so that they might experience you the way that I have experienced you in my life. And you know the cool thing? Not only did they bring Alex and Nino in to experience the inn, but you see, whenever you are an innkeeper, you want people to also be an innkeeper. And it was amazing how fast that Alex and Nino began to serve in this house because they wanted to be an innkeeper as well. They wanted to experience the joy. They wanted to have that fulfillment of knowing that they are using their time to serve God's people. You see, I'm so grateful for the inn, but more than the inn, I'm grateful for every innkeeper that makes this inn so special. Come on, can we pray today? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, for what you are doing here at North Point Community Church. Thank you that people are choosing to put their faith, hope, and trust in you. Thank you, God, that you are raising us up to be innkeepers in this city. And God, right now, I pray for every single person that is watching this, every single person that says, Philip, I need God to touch my life. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I need a relationship with God. That is what I need in my life. God, I thank you that in this moment, you are there for them. And God, I'm praying right now for every single person that says, I want to be an innkeeper. Philip, I want to be an invader. I want to invade the gap. I want to be an investor, giving my time and my money to build the inn stronger. And I want to be an inviter. I want to invite people to experience the inn the way that I have experienced the inn. And not just an invitation to the inn, but an invitation to the life of an innkeeper as well. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our community. Thank you that you are bringing people into the inn, that you are changing their lives, and you are raising up innkeepers to serve this city. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to continue this Tales from the End series next week. We've got another great story for you, and I can't wait to see you right back here next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.